F1A, number 2B.
All right. So the prophets began to talk about things that people could not see, but about the reality that existed and had a Christ, and that Christ would actually then translate itself to the people and would bring about really the fulfillment of their prophecy, of the ideas lying behind it. So it is a good example how every time when there is such a paradigm shift in consciousness, that there are all, in the main, only a few who begin to see the idea, and the rest of the world doesn't see it and therefore resists it. So that period we could more or less describe as that period where the metaphysical aspect of reality was begun to be seen, that it was not looking at matter and the material phenomenon, but looking at the idea that is at work behind it. It is the beginning of exchanging the objects of sense for the ideas of soul, as we have it also stated in the Christian Science textbook. Now, with the advent of Jesus, a completely different world consciousness was brought into world consciousness. Now, with the 5,000 year beginning with Jesus, the problem changed. You see, in the 4,000 year period, the prophets could only see that there is an idea, a metaphysical idea behind a material phenomenon. But they only could see that this idea is there somewhere, that it is not accepted, but it exists somewhere. Jesus came and said, that does not exist somewhere, that is not an idea that will fulfill itself in time, but he said, that idea is right here and now. And you know, that was really the beginning of his mission when he read from the Bible, from Isaiah, from the prophets, where the prophet said there will be coming a man who will be the king. And when he had read that, then he was saying, now this time is fulfilled. And he could see that, therefore, we should not see this in the future, but right here and now. And so I said, I am that idea. He did not say, I represent perhaps the idea of life or truth, or the resurrection will come, or life will come, there will be newness of life. He said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am truth. I am the way. He doesn't say there is a way. The prophet said there will be a way. He said, I am the way. And in this way, he was introducing a terrific paradigm shift, which said, look here, you don't have to look behind things and try to see ideas. You are that idea. I and the Father are one. We are one with that idea. We are one with God. So that the specifics relationship between reality on one side and the symbolization on the other side was really shown to be one and the same. That the Christ was Jesus, and Jesus was the Christ. Because Jesus said, I am the Son of God. So he said, I am the Christ. And the Christ was the same as Jesus, because Jesus was willing to be a transparency, a complete transparency for the light, so that the light and the window pane became one. And so we have that great new sense that the ideas are we. We are the ideas. And that brought a completely different slant on the whole Old Testament. You know, when then John Dolley began to see that point, that idea, the Christ idea, Jesus is one, that he began to teach and said, therefore, because ideas are infinite, because ideas are eternal, because ideas are neither person, place, nor things, because ideas are now, because ideas are without time and space, and therefore now, therefore the whole of the Old Testament is now. Therefore he began to teach, I am Abraham, I am Noah, I am Abraham, I am Isaac, I am Jacob, I am Sarah, I am Joseph, I am Moses, I am all these figures that were figures in the Old Testament and which we have regarded as his history and as tribal history. Now they were brought right into the presence and could see we all can be a Noah. We all can build an ark. We all can pitch that ark. We all can stay above the floods. We all can land on Mount Ararat. That's our life. That's not something that happens in the past or in history. We are that very idea. So at that point, naturally, the whole teaching was much more tangible, became much more tangible to our life experience. So instead of always thinking back to those wonderful ideas and to those wonderful prophecies, those wonderful acts and facts and healings, we can see that we are these ideas right now, that they are timeless and spaceless. So at that point, naturally, when Jesus began to see that he is the idea, the Christ idea, he naturally could also see the mind over matter, that whole relationship of mind, capital M, over matter, and so introduced, because the idea and he was only the highest corporeal human sense of the idea, so he could see that idea was healing, that it, because it was could be embodied as Jesus and in the body of Jesus, that this idea was not somewhere up in heaven but was his very body, and he could embody ideas. Therefore he introduced physical healing, mind over matter, ideas over matter. A terrific new era began with him, and though Jesus himself naturally embraced, so to say, also the 6,000 and 7,000 year period, he himself, but for the age in which he lived, he only showed really to the age, or could show to the age, the 5,000 year period. Namely, that ideas have a Christ. But this Christ is working in the body and therefore is able to bring forth spiritual healings. And that was the point at which then Mrs. Eddy took up her revelation. So, in that age, we could really see that Jesus exemplified for the world. I must be very careful that I always bring out the right thing, for the world, not for himself. He was much higher than that. But for the world, he exemplified then, so to say, the science of physical harmony. They came to him for physical healing, for physical salvation. And the whole land of Judah and Jerusalem looked at him as a king that would free Israel from the physical domination of the Romans, that they hoped he would throw the Romans out so that they would be drowned in the sea. But he didn't do that. That was not his purpose. But that was the mental attitude. So that reality at that point was being measured by the amount of power over matter. And I think if we look at the general Christian science field, I can see that most are still there. What they look out is that Christian science is a problem-solving science, that it is a science that should keep us physically intact, that should keep us financially well, that should keep the family well, that should keep the business well, that should give us enough money to build nice houses and to have a high standard of living. All that is nice and so on. But that is the 5,000-year period. It is a very old sense of Christian science that has nearly become obsolete and antiquated in our consciousness. Because we see today that the science of physical harmony is not bringing a solution, but just the other way around, that it brings the danger that it materializes consciousness and instead of that it spiritualizes consciousness. So we have to be very clear where we are in consciousness. The old question of God to Adam was, where art thou, Adam? Art thou in the 3,000-year period, where we just are interested that our family is well? The rest of the world can go to hell. That doesn't matter as long as the family, the tribe, is secure and is well and healthy, etc. Or are we in the 4,000-year period, where we constantly take on us that terrific job of constantly exchanging the objects of sense for the ideas of soul, and we encounter these objects of sense every second, every hour, all through our life, as long as we are living in this world, in the material world, we would have to exchange constantly, 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 until it becomes a burden to exchange the objects of sense for the ideas of soul. That's why the prophets usually start, this is the burden of the prophet so-and-so. This is the burden of Israel. It's a burden to constantly exchange error into truth, the objects of sense for the ideas of soul. Are we still there? Most of the Christian scientists are still there. They are still struggling with the material universe, trying to see that that material universe must be exchanged for a spiritual universe, for a universe of ideas. And it is a hell of a job, and one gets tired of it, one gets burdened of it, and that's why all the joy usually then gets out of the Christian scientists after 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years of exchanging constantly, every moment, the objects of sense for the ideas of soul. Or are we still in the 5,000-year period where we identify ourselves constantly with ideas, where Jesus is the symbol, Christ is the idea at being one, Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus? Are we constantly just identifying ourselves always with ideas, with single ideas, with isolated ideas? Is that a science that is built on isolated ideas? This is not the science. A science demands much more than just knowing a lot of data. That's not the science. It's just trying that we have a good memory and that we memorize all the facts and that we look around and listen around to get more facts and hear more facts and more facts and so on. This is not science. This is knowledge, but not science. Science is when that what we know can be brought into relationship so that all that we know form a consistent, coherent system where everything is just woven together into one web of consistency, which is in a scientific terminology called a system. So Mrs. Eddy came and she brought a completely new vision in regard to reality and symbolized that reality. Her concept of reality was that reality is a science, that God has a science to declare himself, and not just infinite, isolated, solitary ideas, but that all these ideas are related in a lawful, ordered way, so that they form a system with categories, that there are methods with which we can use that system, so that there is structure in being, and that we can, through the rules of restructuring, can restructure constantly the fundamental system and see the fundamental system constantly in new structures. This is what our present age is engaged in. So reality for her was a science of God. And the symbol to symbolize that science of God was naturally not mythology, was naturally not sagas, was naturally not tribal history, was naturally not just metaphysics. It was the symbol she used were scientific symbol. So the idea is science and the symbol is science. So instead of having Christ Jesus as a person, we have Christ science. We impersonalize the idea completely and take it away from the person of Jesus, and in place of Jesus have a science, so that it is a Christ science. So at this period we see that both reality and the symbol are science. Therefore, we must be aware that if we want to understand Mrs. Eddy's textbook, which presents a science, that we don't approach it with a consciousness of the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, thousand year period consciousness. We have to approach it with a 6,000 year period consciousness. But that 6,000 year period consciousness says approach it through science, through scientific tools, and there is the difficulty, because not all people are really trained in thinking scientifically. You know, you experience now in this country how education just goes down and down and down, and that is, I think, the greatest danger for any country that can arise. In the schools, usually, one is only taught to memorize things, to learn things by heart, to memorize things, to know them, not to understand them. Understanding means something very different than to know a subject. Somebody can have a terrific memory and can be like a walking encyclopedia, but that doesn't mean that he understands the least thing. Understanding has nothing to do with knowing a lot of isolated data. Understanding means that we can see the relationship between facts. Science is a fact-ordering activity, and not just a fact-finding and a fact-memorizing and a fact-knowing activity. It's a fact-relating, ordering activity. To see suddenly between facts laws, to see suddenly between facts orders, rules, system, suddenly to see that certain facts can be categorized in different categories, that we can suddenly begin to see how categories work into categories, that they interweave in categories and form new structures. Only when we begin to look at reality or any subject in that way, we really can say we approach it in a scientific way. Therefore, we live in the 6,000-year period, and actually only towards the end of this 6,000-year period it comes out clearer and clearer that the textbook contains really those scientific tools with which to understand the textbook itself. That there are categories in the textbook. We know those three big categories that are symbolized by capitalized terms, and which say, look here, there are three big categories. The category of the nature of God, the seven synonyms, the category of the operation of that nature through the four sides of the holy city, and that nature that operates on all levels of human experience, on the spiritual level, right down to the human level, to the moral level, to the material level. It operates right through all of our experience. So if we know those three great categories in the textbook and learn it from the textbook itself, then we can begin to understand the textbook, namely to decipher, so to say, the text of the textbook, or say to decode the text of the textbook, and suddenly see in the textbook not just sentences after sentences, but a structure of spiritual ideas. So this is a 6,000-year period. If we resist this, we are way back in another 1,000-year period. And that's the trouble today, that Christian scientists as a whole resist the very demand that we approach the science of God through scientific means instead of through beliefs or through metaphysical ideas, through metaphysical concepts, through faith, through emotion, through religious belief, etc., etc., etc. So we will have to keep that in mind during this week, that when we look at the minor prophets, that we can see that we can read that text either from the standpoint of the 4,000-year period or the 5,000-year period or the 6,000-year period, or from the 7,000-year period. What is the 7,000-year period? Well, that is coming, and actually we are not prophets anyway. I'm not a prophet. And actually, I would say the moment one has seen science, then prophecy pauses. We don't need any more prophecy the moment we have seen science. Then we just can see through extrapolation what the next step must be. What must it be? Not will it be. What must it be? And we can reason that out very, very clearly. By examining the 6,000-year period. The 6,000 period we have seen was first showing the three great categories. But what are these three great categories? Just to say they are mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and word, Christ, Christianity, and science, and divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science doesn't do a trick. They are terms. So Dolly came and said, look here, go and find the spiritual content of those terms. Go and find through what ideas each one of those 15 root notions are characterized. What characterizes mind? What are the ideas characterizing man? And the whole focus was on knowing what ideas characterize the capitalized terms. And so in that way was established a science of ideas and the calculus of ideas. But now we can say, what did we do? We took an unknown term or concept like mind and found the spiritual content of that concept, of that word or term, and found the spiritual meaning in it through the ideas. And so we filled, so to say, that term with spiritual ideas. But now I come to the 7,000 year period. But when we begin to get a spiritual touch and feel of these ideas that characterize mind, if we get that feel closer and more definite and more spiritually tangible, then suddenly we begin to feel, well, all these ideas of mind, they blend together in such a way that I just hear one big tone, mind. And then we talk about the tonality of mind. Then mind is no more a concept, and mind is a spiritual impact, a spiritual tone, a spiritual atmosphere, a tangible, exact spiritual atmosphere. So that little by little, as we culture ourselves in those capitalized terms, we drop the ideas, we don't need them more, because we have the super symbols of the capitalized term, which are the redundancy terms. They are so overflowing, so superabundant, that they include everything, so that if we just reduce more and more to the capitalized terms, we come into the 7,000 year period where we actually are no more working with ideas, but are working with the capitalized terms. So that all these many, many ideas are further reduced, and science reduces always to simplicity, to the capitalized terms. And our consciousness in the 7,000 year period is not relying anymore on ideas and on many numerous ideas, but just is based on the tonality of the capitalized terms. That's the 7,000 year period. So that on one page, which we have called the chart in the book on the spiritual consciousness, on one page we have the whole symbolization of reality. And that symbolization contains only capitalized terms. Yes.